Can I put a break here?
Can I put a break here?
Yeah, I'm gonna have some opinions today.
There you go.
I'm off. I have some opinions.
Do it.
Okay, so we'll talk about Lizzo. Yeah, you added things. Hooray, hooray.
Yeah.
And then, we got some stuff. And then we'll talk about resolutions that aren't about shrinking yourself. And yeah. Cool. Cool beans. Cool fucking beans. Should we get this show on the road?
Yes.
Let's get this show on the motherfucking road.
Let's do it. Welcome back, everyone. We are here.
Welcome back.
2020. The last time you heard from us, it was 2019. So
much has changed.
It really has in the past 3 weeks. I survived the stomach flu.
You did. You did a great job doing that. I got a new garbage can for Christmas to put all my garbage in.
Ooh.
So much has changed.
Proud of you.
So much. It's unbelievable the changes that have happened just by the dates changing themselves. Incredible.
Truly.
Truly. Truly, truly. Yes. Welcome to our first show of the year. We're back, bitches. You're welcome.
Hey.
Hey. We wanted to start off this year by talking about the wonders of New Year's resolutions, which I'm sure you already made. And I'm sure by the time this comes out, you've probably broken some. I'm eating pizza Pringles and I told myself I was going to snack less. So look at that. I'm a perfect example about why New Year's resolutions are insane. But
yeah,
body positivity and resolutions and shit like that.
But, I mean, for some of you, you might be wondering, who the fuck are these ladies? My name is Amanda.
My name's Katie, and this is our podcast. It's called 50 Worst Dates. It combines the schadenfreude of true crime podcasts with the romance and dating advice of dating podcasts. Sometimes they're funny. Sometimes they'll make you cry. We'll see how this goes, you know?
Yeah, and ironically enough, Katie and I are both now in relationships, so
it's going to be great. If you'd like to sponsor us, Hinge.
For real, it's going to be super duper great. I told my partner that we now need, and I think Katie did the same, that we now need to just go on shitty dates, and he was like, I can supply, and I was like, good to know.
Yeah, no, we've had that conversation, like, babe, take me on a shitty date. And the bit starts, and then it's like, oh, he said all the bad things, and then it's not a shitty date because I'm dating a good person.
Yeah.
It's funny how that goes.
Yay.
But, that said, if you're a single person dealing with the bullshittery that is dating apps, going on first dates, doing that thing, we are more than experienced in that. We still, I think, plan on talking about those things heavily.
Yeah, for sure.
I just yesterday was at the site of the worst date I have ever been on, the Viagra Triangle in Chicago at Rush Street. And it brought back some memories. And that is going to be as of like the day before Valentine's Day, a year ago. So these are still fresh memories, guys. The 50 Worst Dates podcast is going to still talk about bad dates. But today we're not going to talk about dating at all because you probably need a pep talk and we're good at those.
Yes. But in light of holiday season finally coming to a goddamn motherfucking end.
Thank the Lord.
We are going to be discussing today kind of like body positivity and all that jazz and New Year's resolutions. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah, just like how are you supposed to get through, especially January? People do dry January, which I personally think is dumb.
Aren't you doing dry January?
No, I'm not drinking alone and on weekends or on weekdays. Which is different. I'm not like saying no to going to bars and doing things because people will be like, oh, I can't go to a bar because I want to drink too much because I'm doing dry January and I can't help myself. Which, first of all, you can. But also, like, I'm going to go out and go to cocktail bars when they're dead because it is January and everyone else is doing dry January. I had a lovely rum punch on Friday. It was great.
But yeah, so it's peak resolution season, which means endless talk of diets like keto, Whole 30, paleo, dry January, vegetarianism, or just plant-based diets, high protein, low sugar, or whatever the fuck is cool now. And it's fucking hard. And it can be very triggering to some people as well. Mm-hmm.
So we want to come back strong in 2020 for a conversation about body positivity. And just kind of like this week, we want to tackle troubles we all have with body positivity. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we can preface this that by saying, because I know I personally really get annoyed with like Taylor Swift, who is like societally, objectively beautiful and perfect, like blonde, blue eyes, rail thin, talking about body positivity and how it's hard. Like, mm-hmm. I have an issue with her like being the outspoken advocate for it because what a part of society is telling her that she's not pretty, I don't really know. But while I'll speak for myself and I can't necessarily speak for Amanda because I think she's perfect, I want you guys to know that like this advice today is coming from someone who like doesn't wear straight sizes and like I'm working on it, but I think it's important to call that out. Like, we are not Taylor Swift bodies talking to you. Mm-hmm. And I am not a skinny bitch. Amanda is a skinny bitch, but has her own baggage related to it. And all I'm trying to say here is there are a variety of body types talking to you. And because this is an audio medium, you may not realize that or know that. But yeah, we are normal human beings. Living in the world, we are not like hot girl, hot body, workout 6 hours a day people who like, it's so hard when people focus on your body and not your brain, even though I spend 6 hours a day at the gym with my trainer because I'm an Instagram celebrity and that is literally my job to be hot.
Yeah.
Personally, if Kim Kardashian or any of her sisters don't feel as if they are really, really torn apart by society about their bodies, I don't have a lot of issue with it because your job, as you've set it up, is literally to be hot. So if you're not doing your job right, I'm sorry. But the rest of us have jobs and lives and things to do and we cannot be at the gym for 6 hours a day. We are trying to diet between birthdays of our friends. Apparently, I know a lot of fucking Capricorns and Aquariuses because I gotta go to a bunch of birthday shit. So How do you be resolution-y but also not kill your social life? How do you do all these things? Mm-hmm. That's what we want to talk about today. And just keep it positive and keep it fun. But also, like, just give you a pep talk into this new year, yo.
Hell yeah.
So let's go to a break because we have those. And we'll talk about it more in a second. Yay. BRB.
BRB. Let's talk about Lizzo because you can't talk body positivity without talking about the queen of body positivity, Lizzo.
Like, okay, here's the deal. Elizabeth Warren gets elected for president because that's what this country needs. It's not what it wants, but it's what it needs. And then she creates the Department of Body Positivity and puts Lizzo as Secretary of Body Positivity. That's what this country needs. I'm just saying that that's part of one of her many plans.
There you go.
Liz Warren 2020. Yeah. So let's talk about Lizzo because we can't do that. But yeah, what you said. You're beautiful. So,
as James Blunt put it,
yeah, as Frankie Muniz put it, Lizzo can turn me into some kind of accessory and just carry me around with her all the time. Look it up. He tweeted something like that. It was bonkers. But Lizzo is a like fat woman that we have not heard a peep out of about like losing weight in 2020. Because it's not important to, like, who she is or what she does. Even though, like, it is important to why she's gotten popular because her songs are about accepting and loving oneself. Mm-hmm. And seeing someone who is, like, not objectively perfect on stage really touting that and going into shows and making you scream out, I am important and I am strong and I matter. And telling you to say those things to yourself in the mirror. That's like, part of her shtick. Which is why I think she is an incredible artist because she's really using her platform for good mm-hmm. and has been the whole goddamn time. And it's important, like, body positivity is important to who she is and what she does. And we've only as a society made that, like, necessary and important and, like, kind of forced her into a message like that because we think it's so important to be thin. Mm-hmm. So even in all of her positivity, though, she's made it very clear that it can be very hard. And I want to highlight that with the fact that she was Time Magazine's Entertainer of the Year in 2019. Mm-hmm. And she has a lot of really fantastic quotes that I'm just going to read verbatim about her and what she does. I really specifically like this quote from the author of the article. It's not even directly from Lizzo, Melissa herself. Seeing her body as I'm casually scrolling through Instagram is like a shot of emotional adrenaline. Open my largest vein and pump that photo of her naked in a bathtub filled with Skittles directly into it. It feels revolutionary, even now, to watch a fat woman love herself so openly. We've been conditioned to expect the good fatty, the excuse me, I'm so sorry, look at me eating a salad, kind of fat girl that feels like she has to perform some sort of disordered eating to get love, let alone fame. Lizzo loves her back rolls and doesn't care whether you do too. I really resolve with this very deeply because I work in an environment and live in a world where, like, if you're fat and you're caught eating carbs, people look at you like, you should know better. This is why you look like that. And you have to just kind of like be like, I'm living my life. Thank you. It's really cool that you think that you have advice for me, even though you have, from what I can tell, a really fucked up relationship with food. And do want to read this quote from Lizzo. I'm sorry, guys. It's not as structured as I wanted it to be, mostly because I wrote this literally like a month ago, and I don't know what day it is anymore. The author asks in this article, why was this year, after nearly a decade on the road, performing shows for next to nothing, living in your car, being your own hype man, that you racked up more Grammy nominations than any other artist? And Lizzo says, I've been doing positive music for a long ass time. Then the culture changed. There were a lot of things that weren't popular but existed, like body positivity, which at first was a form of protest for fat bodies and black women and has now become a trendy commercialized thing. Now that I've seen it reach the mainstream, suddenly I'm mainstream. How could we ever have guessed that something like this would happen when we'd never seen anything like this before? Just such a fucking powerful statement. So basically, all I want to tell you, people, folks out there, when you go to a Lizzo show, she makes you say mantras. She does all the things a therapist would want you to do. She jumps around and tells you to tell yourself that you are beautiful, you're smart, you're important. It's kind of like the help. And that you matter. And it's such a good experience to have someone on a stage make you say that. It's like going to mega church. Like, I expect in like a situation with like a Kansas mega church, there's some like preachers. I want you to go home and pray, and I want you to think about these things. And it's the same like emotional concept, but it's so much more powerful because it's clearly a person that has struggled with those same issues as me, telling me to be better to myself because they're being better to themselves. It's so fucking important. So while you're making these New Year's resolutions and while you're doing something where you're saying, okay, I want to lose 15 pounds, I want to be down 2 pant sizes by the 4th of July. And those are good actionable goals, especially if you're putting numbers and you're putting specific boundaries on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said of like making a New Year's resolution this year where you're just kinder to yourself.
Yeah.
And you're not, you are saying to the mirror that you are important and you are beautiful. I like once dated a guy who the first time I came over to his house, he had a post-it note of all of his morning mantras on his mirror. And it was like a very weird thing to connect as to what those things were. And then it was really fucking sexy when I figured out what they were. Like in your bathroom, peeing. And I'm seeing like you wake up every morning and you're telling yourself, I'm going to do one important thing today. I am going to succeed. I'm going to do this. And you're like actively hyping yourself up, because we all need an emotional hype man. And for me, that is Lizzo's music. And that is what she tells me to say when I go to her concerts. But it's important that I think we all take a second in January to think to ourselves, oh shit, all of these people are stuffing this whole idea of health and success down my throat. Think about all the gym membership ads that you've seen. Think about all of the like meal kit ads that you've seen. I myself like bought into like a meal kit meal system. So do it with them as you will. Mm-hmm. Just think about like, am I doing this because it's something I want to do? Am I doing this because the people at brunch won't shut the fuck up about Whole30? And I feel like that's a thing that I should do right now.
Oh God, please don't.
Literally, story time. I was at brunch 2 weeks ago. And this girl says something to me. She's like, oh my God, I have a cat named Bill. And he's got one eye. He's lost his left eye and I love him. Shows me this Instagram, because she's made him an Instagram, of a big Maine Coon cat who's missing an eye. Like could full on wear an eye patch, which would be fucking adorable. And like once I meet his Instagram, all my friends started getting one-eyed cats. It was so weird. And I was my right hand in kind of an ice pick motion, say something to the effect of, so your friends were jabbing the eyes out of their cats. And I scared this stranger to her very core, to the point where the only way the conversation would continue over these Eggs Benedict was if we talked about Whole30. Like that's the only time the spark came back in her. I had like really destroyed her worldview by accident. But again, are your friends stabbing? There aren't that many one-eyed cats.
There really are not.
Are you actively creating one-eyed cats? Or are you finding the one-eyed cats? She wasn't clear about that, which is why I had to ask. But we're at that time of year where nobody shuts the fuck up about how they're doing dry January, and I can't go to a bar because then I'll want to drink. So I guess I'm going to stay home in my apartment and not see anybody for a month. Or I can't do that because I have to wake up and run at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is a noble and valiant thing to want to do. But to limit yourself and to limit yourselves, especially where I think a lot of our listeners are in their early 20s, like you only have the energy to do a lot of these things when you're in your early 20s. Go out and go get those Tuesday drinks. Don't let fucking dry January ruin it for you. Especially like this is a dating podcast, like how many dates involve going to like a bar, and how many times a week do you have time to like drink coffee with someone on a dating experience? I did coffee dates a bunch.
I did a coffee date with my current partner.
Yes. But like how many times a week do you have time for a coffee date? Personally, I can't drink coffee after noon.
See, I can drink coffee whenever, so.
Yeah, like I cannot consume coffee unless it's the morning or I will not sleep. So, and like, what if you talk to someone and they don't like fucking coffee? Most of the time, everybody likes bars.
Drink fucking tea.
I don't know. Have you ever, I don't know a lot of men that drink tea. Toxic masculinity I've in motion.
The past two men that I've dated drink tea, so.
Okay, one of those men grew up in a colony of England. That doesn't count.
We're technically a post-colony of England.
Yeah, but we're America.
Still. It was New Zealand. Well,
yeah, where they have tea time. They grew up in a culture of tea time.
True. But, like, I don't know. I mean, we grew up in a culture of coffee. Yeah. Anyway, I feel like there's more people that like tea and coffee than you think. But, yes, drinking has become such a social thing. And I was just talking with Katie about this, about how I think it's bullshit. Like, with the dry January, or just in general. People who don't drink, when they use that as an excuse to be lame as fuck. Right. And I'm very annoyed by it because I've noticed it happen with people just being like, oh, well, I don't know if I should go out because, you know, so-and-so doesn't drink or I'm not drinking or whatever. And I'm like, okay, my partner doesn't drink and he's still coming out. And we're still
gonna have a good time. It bothers me the most when it's like, I'm not drinking because I'm doing X, Y, like, I'm not drinking because I'm running a 5K tomorrow. It's a legitimate reason not to drink. That's not even like an I made a decision to do dry January. That's like, you did drink, admittingly, Black Wednesday into Thanksgiving Thursday.
Yeah, and then I ran a 5K.
And then you ran a 5K. You made it happen. But like, if you were to say, I don't want to drink, I'm running a 5K tomorrow,
I still would have gone out and had fun. And so
like, I think it shows a lot of reliance on alcohol to have fun.
Yeah. And I think that that's bullshit because also like, so I'm going to have to stop drinking at the end of this month because I'm going on Accutane for about 4 or 5 months and it's excreted through the liver. It can be pretty harsh on the liver. And I'm also on another medication that is known to be very harsh on the liver as well. So I'm not trying to fucking kill my liver at 25, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm
body not positivity, not exactly. Killing your liver at 25. Yeah.
So, you know, I've decided not to drink during that time, or if I do, it'll be like one in a very blue moon. And I even told, you know, my partner, I was like, listen, if I even try to drink, like you slap that shit out of my hand because I don't know, like I don't want to risk it. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like I'm still going to want to go out. Like if people still invite me out to bars or if I go home to Chicago, like I'm not going to be like, no, I can't go to a bar because I can't have fun without alcohol, which is bullshit. Like, first of all, weed is now legal in Illinois, so I can just smoke. And second of all, like, it's an excuse. And I'm tired of people making excuses for their shitty behavior. Like if you want to be lame, if you want to be a shitty friend and not go out, or if you want to be super introverted and never see anyone except your significant other, like that's on you. And don't make an excuse for it. Just be like, yo, I don't want to go out. And that's that. Or like, you know, because it just pisses me off when people try to like excuse it because I'm like, I'm not drinking or so-and-so's not drinking, but they're still coming out. So, or like, you know, trying to save money, which is I totally understand that because going out can be very expensive. But then it's like, you know, there's still ways to do things and to have fun without spending a lot of money. There is still, first of all,
there's still ways to do things and have fun without spending a lot of money, without drinking, without eating all your calories for the day without ruining your whole 30 diet. Like New Year's resolutions piss me off the most because they suck the fun out of everything.
Yes. But kind of circling back to Lizzo, I saw this because we're going to dive like into body positivity more. But just like essentially the purpose of this episode is to just be like, you know, it's fine to have a New Year's resolution or a 2020 goal, like whatever it is that works for you. But like, don't be a shittier person or shittier friend because you have elected to do something for yourself, which is fine. Right. But you should be able to, like, the purpose in my belief of a resolution is to incorporate some sort of habit into your life. Mm-hmm. If you're doing something like Whole 30, the purpose of Whole 30 in my eyes is to kind of reset your system because you're cutting everything out. You're cutting out sugar. You're cutting out carbs. You're cutting out like all these things.
You literally cannot exist on Whole 30 or paleo forever. Like the point is that you go off of it.
Yes, but it's to help set up good habits for eating. And because like some people, they do really well because, you know, they're trying to kickstart some diet and exercise, or they're addicted to sugar and they need to get it, like, so they go sugar free for 30 days. And, you know, then by the time that's up, they're not craving sugar as much. So the purpose of a resolution, no matter what it is to make some sort of like habitual change in your life. And if you become a shittier person because of it, that's not a good resolution or goal. But I also kind of want to, right?
And you can go see Lizzo.
Yeah. And so I suggested this topic kind of prior to our wee hiatus because, you know, I started to begin struggling pretty intensely with some like low self-esteem and poor body positivity. And I have developed some goals for myself this year. In fact, prior to my 25th birthday, really, which is in July, to just start making better habits. Because I hate the idea of like New Year's resolutions because I feel like that's just setting you up for failure. But kind of circling back to Lizzo, I saw this post on Facebook, and I'm sure a lot of people who are listening probably have seen it too. Some gentleman shared it, but it was originally written by a woman named Melissa Flor Bixler. And she said, quote, "I noticed that Lizzo played 22 shows across the country over the course of 2 months. I'm guessing she was on stage for 1.5 to 2 hours a night. If you've seen her live performances, you'll note that she is dancing, singing, and playing the flute in all of these songs, or most of them. This is an incredible athletic feat. Try running 7 miles per hour in heels on a treadmill, clearly singing the words to Truth Hurts without sounding out of breath. Stop halfway to play the flute for a minute and then start running again and finish the song. And then do this for 2 hours. That's more or less what Lizzo trained to do night after night and make it look effortless and fun at the same time. She gives an incredible performance. I've never seen her live, but seeing her performances, you can tell that she is pretty fucking awesome.
She does jumping jacks and does jump rope on stage during fitness.
Yes.
Like they do push-ups.
Yeah. So
they work out. And that's like choreographed mumbo jumbo. But that's also like,
that's still exercise.
So much.
Yeah. And so this person continues and says, you know, "I, deemed average BMI by science, can barely dance through one Lizzo song, let alone keep up with it for multiple hours. And I run 3 miles 3 times per week." So the next time you hear someone opine that Lizzo is normalizing obesity, know that this is simply more fat phobia disguised as health concerns. And I think that that's, I saw that and I was like, holy fuck, it's so true. Because people are like, wow, look at Lizzo. She's promoting like body positivity for people of larger body sizes, which is fantastic. It's great. We do need to normalize that. But at the same time, we also need to normalize that no matter how much diet or exercise you do, no matter how fit you are, because I guarantee you Lizzo is more fit than most of us.
Oh, absolutely. She works out. She posts about it on Instagram. It's not like she's like not doing anything.
Exactly. It's, you know, people need to understand that bodies literally come in different shapes and sizes. It is anatomically impossible for me to get down to a size zero unless I were to literally starve myself to bone. And then I would like die.
I transferred into women, like adult women sizes or even like the teen sizes in the fifth grade, I was still a 3. I've literally never been a 0. I would have had to have been in like adult women pants in the third grade. Not real. Like this is the way my hips are built. It's not going to be a 0.
Exactly.
It's never going to be a 0.
And I think that it's really important to recognize that it's so great to, I mean, exercise is something that is a huge part of just my form of self-care. Ever since I was 16, it's something that I try to incorporate in my like weekly routine. And part of the reason that I started dealing with major self-esteem issues was because over the past couple months, I've really just fallen out of routine with my self-care. And that heavily included my exercise and my diet. So for a lot of my health issues, I cut out gluten because it's an inflammatory. And so a lot of times people with autoimmune disorders know that it makes them feel worse. and it affects my fatigue more often, but because I'm now on a stimulant, I feel less of the need to cut it out, or I think that I do.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that you do is the key thing.
Yeah. And so then I like am more lax about when I eat it, and it's become like every day I've been eating gluten, and now my like GI system is all messed up, and I just was feeling bloated all the time and all of these things. And not that I need to cut it out every day of my life, because sometimes I just want a fucking donut and that's fine. It's mm-hmm. It will not kill me. I do not have celiac. So I feel like as long as it doesn't kill you and you know your body, like I'm not going to tell you not to eat. Like lactose intolerance people, they fucking eat ice cream and then they just have diarrhea and deal with it.
I'm mildly lactose intolerant, and I went and got lunch at a place called the Mozzarella Store yesterday. very close people to me received some groundbreaking Snapchats about it, but my GI tract is completely clear.
Exactly.
As if I did a cleanse.
Yeah. And so I think it's important to note that bodies, like, and this sounds really cliche, but like bodies literally come in different shapes and sizes. And some people, like, they will never have curves because they like physically can't get there. And mm-hmm. I, not that I don't have curves, because I do, but like I'm pretty much like ruler shaped. So I'm like, I'm shaped kind of like a boy, because I don't really like the difference between my hips and my waist is not that, like the range is very small. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty straight. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And that's just part of my body. But I will never be like, I'll never have a thigh gap. I'll never have that bullshit, because anatomically there are like, it's most of it is genetics. And so I think it's really, I like that post a lot, because it really highlights that no matter how fit you are, you know, it's like,
your so body's much of it is genetics. So much yeah. of it is like pre-existing conditions, and like
exactly,
it's not your fucking business to know why someone is overweight. And it is stupid of you, honestly, to assume that it's because they eat poorly and don't work out. So if I'm eating my goddamn sandwich for lunch, mm-hmm. I assure you, those carbohydrates that I'm eating are not the consistent reason I look like this.
Yeah,
there are a myriad of reasons I look like this, and none of them are your business. And that goes for every person who has an interaction or has something to say with how much food you put in your mouth, how often you attend the gym, if you've ever done SoulCycle. Oh my God, there is a girl that I've met now who works at SoulCycle part-time, and she loves it, but she loves it because it, like, she loves the endorphin part of it. Like, that's yeah. her jam. She's an athlete. That's her business, and that's awesome. But I've also met people in this realm that I'm like, I do SoulCycle because if I didn't, I'd hate myself.
Yeah.
That's fucking wrong. You need to love yourself a little more. If the difference between you liking yourself in the mirror that day is if or if not you attended the gym.
Yeah. It's problematic. And that will, like, that's so insidious, and it feeds, like, your friends and people around you don't, first of all, we don't want to fucking hear about it, because, you know, you don't know who has struggled with disordered eating or body dysmorphia or just general mm-hmm. low self-esteem. I am one of those people who have dealt with disordered eating and body dysmorphia, and the holidays are so challenging for me, because you hear fucking twig-ass people, which, like, you can still be super skinny and your internal organs can be slathered in disgustingness because you don't treat yourself right. Let me point that out first. Like, skinniness does not equate health. But when you have people who have never understood what it's like to feel like to have their father at the age of 10 tell them they have fat legs, like, you know, it's kind of annoying when they're like, oh, I ate two vegan cookies and now I, like, will have to go to the gym for 6 hours tomorrow. And it's like, shut the fuck up.
And it's also hard to, like, know the person who, like, you know they have dirt, and they, you know, there's, like, family issues that they eat and they work out the way that they do because they're not dealing with their issues.
Yeah.
So, like, to know people that, like, have their dirt and have their trauma and also watch them, like, say those things is really sad if you're woke about it enough. And But if you are also dealing with someone who's completely clueless to their bad behavior and the kind of bad things they are just breathing out into the open because they have their own issues, everybody's fighting their own uphill battle.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. But anyway, so I kind of went into the holidays and I was just like feeling bloated from all the fucking gluten I was eating. And I like wasn't, yoga is something like, it's a huge passion of mine, huge hobby of mine. Not going to like dive into that, but I like fallen off of doing yoga, fallen off of going to the gym just because like work was chaotic and like life was chaotic. I was in a new relationship and like all these things. And so I just felt not great about myself, which happens. I mean, even the most body positive people, not saying that I'm one of them, like I generally love my body and I'm still allowed to have days where I don't. And I want to point that out, that that's normal too, especially because like, if you don't feel good, you're not going to feel good about yourself. You know, if you're feeling bloated, if you're like, wow, I haven't shit in a week, which was literally me last week. I was like, I feel like a beached whale, because I look like I'm pregnant and I hate it because I don't feel good. Like it just hurts. And so all in all, 2019 was just really weird. And I'm personally thankful it's over. And that mainly that the holidays are over.
That chapter, it's done.
Because, you know, but I will say though, for the first majority of the year, mainly like the first 8 or 9 months, you know, I spent so much of that time healing myself and falling back in love with myself. And this included loving my body. And so like 2019 was fucking rough, but I was able to, again, fall back in love with myself, which I think should be the goal of, like, that was kind of my resolution because my health started to decline at the end of 2018. And in turn, my mental health started to decline. And I just was like,
it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. And I had to make a lot of like, Jesus Christ, my upstairs neighbors are like fucking bowling. And I had to make a lot of, you know, like financial purchases I didn't want to make. And like, so I just kind of, I felt like a mess. And I spent most of 2019 cleaning that up. And, but at the end of the day, by the end of 2019, like overall, I love my body. And I think our society has incredibly toxic views on bodies, especially women's bodies, and it's repulsive and it's tiring. And although we've come an incredibly long way, courtesy of folks like Lizzo, Jamila Jamil, Chrissy Teigen, Serena Williams, Rihanna, Demi Lovato, Lily Reinhart.
Rihanna is doing more than she's getting credit for.
Right.
Throwing that out there. Holy shit, y'all, get a Fenty, Savage Fenty subscription.
For real. You can Holy skip shit. A month so you don't even have to pay for it.
I'm like 90% sure I accidentally paid in full yesterday, which means I'm getting two sets of lingerie this month because I'm going to get my subscription.
There you go. But, you know, I'm very grateful to see role models speak out against toxic body image. And, but at the end of the day, it won't magically change how you feel about yourself. So I think having these role models is great, but a lot of body positivity, it's entirely from within. And self-love is entirely up to you and the work you put into it. And I want to highlight that, like, no matter how many books you listen to, no matter how many interviews you read, no matter how many fucking, like, diets or exercise programs you follow, you will never have the body positivity that you want until you put the work to love yourself. And I think that that's important because no diet, no exercise program, nothing like that. Like no person can make you love yourself. That is entirely up to you. And, you know, although I have a partner who thinks I'm sexy as hell, it doesn't automatically mean that I feel like a hot piece of ass every day. You know, the day that I felt like a beached whale, I was like, yo, I want to have sex, but we are not because I feel disgusting. And he was like, I think you're beautiful, but I respect you. And I was like, thank you. But, you know, it's just, it's challenging and the holidays are challenging and New Year's resolutions again should be about making positive change for yourself. And, you know,
and positive change can come within your BMI, but positive change in your brain is a lot more
long-term helpful. And BMI is bullshit because BMI like athletes have like an insane, I bet you Serena Williams is considered like obese because her fucking muscle mass is insane.
Yeah, muscle weighs more than fat. That's a thing you can believe. And because of that, Serena Williams qualifies. My mom would always tell me, like, I went to Weight Watchers and they reminded me that by BMI, Brian Urlacher is obese, but if you told him that, he'd kick your ass.
Yep.
Which is the most Midwestern mom thing that's ever happened, but true. It's entirely correct.
Yes.
Like, don't look at, do you like the way you look in pictures? Like, I've noticed over time, especially at the like tail end of college, I was like face tuning the fuck out of pictures, like an embarrassing amount. And I've kept those photos up primarily to remind me not to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. But over time in the like self-love journey, I've noticed that I like don't use it nearly as much. Like I'll like get rid of like a whitehead or something that's like pretty gross and I don't want on my picture. But like I'm not using it to give myself abs because yeah. I don't care. And that's important, the fact that like you're more accepting of who you are and what you look like. And if you want to better it, like I have a goal of becoming like getting back into yoga on more of an Amanda level and actively doing things for myself and my body that are positive, but I don't have like a defined number attached to it. And I have friends who do. And if you want to do that, that's great. But why don't we work on the fact that like, no matter how you look in a picture, as long as you're having a good time in the picture, that's really the memory that matters.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that it's more than just physical. And I think that that's important to note. And for the podcast, I asked my partner what he thought of my body. Cause I was just like, I'm just intrigued. Like, what do you think of my body? And because I wanted to kind of highlight how oftentimes we put so much value in other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. Like you want your partner or friends to tell you how hot you are. You want that guy
at the bar to think that you're hot.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, like, because I also noticed that he never really comments on how I look, which like in some mm-hmm. ways can be infuriating. But mm-hmm. he basically was like, as a rule, I generally don't comment on people's appearance because I feel like their value is so much beyond that. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Okay, maybe.
You don't have to be a hero here. But anyway, so he said something that I think is really important, not just for me, but for anyone. He said, I mean, I love your body. I'm extremely grateful that you share it with me in close intimate settings, but you're more than physically attractive to me though. By extension, I love your mind and your thoughts towards body positivity and realistic thinking towards one's body. You treat your body like the goddess that you are, but you aren't obsessed with perfection. And I guess what I'm saying here is that what I see physically can vary because the person in that body defines how attractive they are, at least in my eyes. And I was like,
fuck. That's woke okay. as shit.
I know, right? And I think that that's really important because it's true. Like people, you could be the hottest girl in the room, but have such poor body image mm-hmm. that, you know, like people see that. And it's all about like, you can tell if someone is feeling confident. And that's something I noticed is that people are like, you're so confident. And I feel like 2019, I was really able to just hone in on just being the most authentic version of myself. That was kind of like my 2019 goal. And I think mm-hmm. I manifested that.
You manifested that shit. You made it.
And I think that that shows and people appreciate that. And people are like, you know, you are a beautiful person inside and out. Like it's not because people are putting less pressure. In some ways, people are putting less pressure on being so externally beautiful because like most of the shit that I now post on Instagram are like my ugly faces because mm-hmm. I think that they're funny as fuck. And I think it's important like to keep it real.
MySpace posts, but it's fine.
It's amazing.
Remember when you would like stick your tongue out and like make faces and like peace.
Okay, but these are like grotesque faces. These aren't cute faces. Like
they're charming.
And that's because I'm charming.
You are very charming. It comes out clearly. Like, I don't know how anybody looks at those pictures and they're like, she's ugly. Like, that's not what people are thinking. But aside, also, y'all, if you have never met a man as woke as Amanda's partner, I haven't either because I haven't met him. It's fine. On a normal level, for normal people who are not dating, like, the wokest of woke. I think it's important to be with someone and actively try to date people who appreciate your body. And that does, because we as women especially have such a hyper loop on, well, he needs to think that I'm pretty. He needs to think that I'm hot. My body is a consumable, because we are pretty much trained by society that our body is something that everyone sees as valuable, and we need to keep it valuable, and we need to make sure that that value is displayed and appreciated. And that's bullshit. While your body is truly the only source of truly ownable economic profitability, which is labor, if you ask the Marxists in the room, being gorgeous and all of that isn't the be all end all, but having a partner that makes sure that you do feel appreciated and do get that on an intimate level is very important. Same guy who had the post-it note with the mantras also pitched me an idea of him and mostly me being an Instagram model, because he's like, you don't understand how many dudes are into this. You are not real thin. And I don't think you understand how many fucking dudes are into this. You could make so much money. And the making of the money thing was who he is as a person or who he was as a person. But the note still stands of like, there is somebody who's into it no matter what you look like or who you are. As long as they don't get fetishy about it, hell yeah. Yeah. Be proud of yourself. Love yourself, because there's somebody who's into that shit and you don't need to change a fucking thing about it. Okay. If you are just trying to get the attention of someone who will fuck you. But you should also love yourself and love what you look like in the mirror.
True.
Because you want to.
So my goal for 2020 is, mm-hmm. and it's not my resolution. It's like just my general goal for 2020 is to kind of cultivate what I learned in 2019 about myself. Like that love mm-hmm. for my body, for everything, for life, for being my most authentic self. And like to truly just cultivate that. You know, not aspire to be a certain, like to be like someone or to look like someone or whatever, but to just find what feels good for me and just like own that shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that that's really important. So no matter what your resolution is, if it's weight based, if it's like personality based, because also if you're a shitty person, you can change. You just have to like put the work into it. So FYI,
go to therapy.
Like, yeah, first of all, get a therapist. Second of all, like, people can change. I think this trope that people don't change, I think there are parts of your personality that exist and you need to understand those and accept those. Like if you're someone who, you know, like one of our best friends, Sarah, she has like major FOMO but that is something that she kind of accepts. And as a friend of her, like I love her to death. It's, you know, you recognize that. And I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm sensitive to how Sarah feels about certain things. So that way, you know, if I say something, I don't want her to feel like I'm leaving her out, because some people misinterpret whatever you're saying, because a lot of our mm-hmm. communication is text. And so, you know, that's not
dealing with their own shit.
Exactly. That's not something that I'd be like, Sarah, you would need to, Sarah, if you're listening, which I know you are, no. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you to change yourself, because you don't need to change who you are as a person, but to understand yourself and use that positively versus like, don't be self-destructive about it. And this is just general, not just that Sarah anymore.
And this is a person who, over the course of our friendship, has woken up to the fact that she's like this and actively made changes. So she tells herself, oh shit, you're doing it again.
Yeah.
And has like talked to us about that. And seeing that change is fucking fantastic. And being a friend of someone who's making that change is fucking fantastic.
Exactly.
So if there's something that you are like, you talk badly about yourself and it makes people uncomfortable, you start fights with people for no reason. You seem to be at the center of the drama every time. There's like something slightly problematic about you. Maybe that's your resolution.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying, stop being problematic, people.
Yeah. People should resolve to suck less.
Yeah. You should resolve to suck less. Not like suck it in, just suck less.
Exactly. So, we have a list of resolutions that are not about shrinking yourself and that are not self-destructive.
Yay!
Woo!
Woo! So if you're still looking for a resolution this late in the month, we got you. Also,
I mean, it's not that late. It's not even halfway through, so we're good.
Yeah, you don't need a new year to make a resolution. I like to also make changes during like school time. So when like back to school season, because there's always I always like need to reorganize my stuff every time I make a resolution. That's when the organization sales are. So take your time. If you don't want to make something in January, make it for February. Make it St. Patrick's Day resolution. Who the fuck cares? So be more sustainable or eco-conscious. Recycle more. Reduce your use of single-use products. Buy a water bottle like a Visco girl. I don't know.
There you go. Especially in light of how, like, our fucking planet is on fire. The fact that
On fire.
First of all, Australia is on fire. The Amazon is just being destroyed. And also, it was 55 degrees today. Yeah. January 5th in the Midwest.
I haven't seen snow. I haven't seen snow since Halloween when it was unseasonable.
Yeah. So, resolve to be more eco-conscious. I had to get toothpaste, and thank God one of the like cruelty-free, like eco-friendly ones was on sale, and it was just as much as the other ones. So I was like, hell yeah, I can justify this.
I picked up reusable plastic bags.
There you go. So yeah, be more sustainable and eco-conscious. You don't need to be perfect, but making an effort is what counts. You know, if you want to go plant-based, but you're like, I fucking love bacon, I respect that. But go plant-based 3 times a week, once a week.
I'm doing at least one meatless day a week.
There you go.
We're doing meatless Mondays or fishy Fridays specifically.
It's honestly pretty easy.
It's really not hard, especially when you actively say, okay, on Mondays, it's going to be meatless Monday. And I brought for lunch at work, I brought a salad with no meat in it. And for dinner, I have, I don't know, something. I have like fish tacos or I have veggie tacos. And like set yourself up for that success and know that you're doing it. And this is the day that I do this thing. And it can expand out and you can learn to really like things that don't have meat in them. And learn to expand on those recipes and expand on those eating habits into other days.
I mean, I've been vegetarian for like 7 years, essentially. Mm-hmm. I ate fish for a while, so I was pescatarian for a while. But overall, I've been plant-based for like 7 years. And so it is pretty fucking easy.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Not that you have to do that. I'm not going to tell people to do that. But like, just make a fucking effort, you know? Get the
almost Monday is really easy.
Fucking regular milk. Stop drinking Fairlife because they fucking abuse animals. Like, make small.
Just because it's cheap.
Make small conscious decisions. If you're wanting a resolution that is centered around health, drink more water.
And use those reusable water bottles.
Exactly. Don't drink on weekdays. Don't drink alone.
Drink less at social events. Two notes on this. If you're trying to drink more water, I have all of my reusable water bottles are always filled up with water in my refrigerator at all times, which is, I keep talking about this one person. Post note and burlesque Instagram guy is also the guy who taught me this. What? Who knew? But thing I picked up from another person, always have reusable water bottles filled up in your refrigerator at all times. You will drink more water this way. And
there you go.
Drink less at social events. Always have, and I'm stealing this from like a comedian or somebody, a pace car person. You see a person, you're like, I'm not going to drink more than them.
There you go.
And if you pick a person who doesn't get lit and you don't drink more than them, you're not going to get lit at all. If you pick the guaranteed drunkest person in the room, you will also not be the drunkest person in the room.
Yeah, that's fair. Eat more veggies. Learn to cook new veggies. Learn to cook new things in general. Or just maybe learn to cook. Cook more. Mm-hmm. Because A, you'll save money. And B, it's actually really fun.
Yeah. I like to go to Trader Joe's and pick up one thing that I'm like, I don't know how to fucking cook this. I'm going to Google it when I get home.
There you go.
I've learned how to make pork chops and risotto and Brussels sprouts.
There you go. Organization. Organize your house or room or month at a time. If you want to fucking Marie Kondo your life, do it. I've done it. And to be honest, it's not going to stick. But something that does stick is when I do purge my stuff like once or twice a year.
And mm-hmm. I oftentimes do the, like, does this bring me joy situation. I'm like, do I really fucking care about this? No. Mm-hmm. I haven't worn
it. Do I remember the last time I wore this outfit?
No.
No. I have a pile of clothes that are either I did not wear this last year, or it was purchased before 2015. That's currently sitting on my couch because I am not the person I was in 2015. Holy shit, I am not. So knowing that that is a different person who would want to wear different things, I'm going to donate all of these things to my preferred. Also, find your own donation facility that you like and you like their mission. Personally, for me, it is Out of the Closet on Halsted in Boys Town. Because I think 98% of the proceeds to that thrift shop go towards AIDS care and research. So make sure that you are participating in a good organization also. Yeah, purge your shit, man. There's plenty of stuff that you probably don't wear that you don't need that's just taking up space in your life and making it harder to find the things that you do like. I also recommend organizing one room of your house per month.
Let's see. Discover a new hobby. So this is something that I struggled with, and then I got like 3 hobbies last year, so it works. Knitting. If you want to like learn to make cool drinks, or even just like get it, like whether it's cocktails or like making cool coffee drinks, running.
I'm gonna just cocktail making this year.
There you go. Photography, collecting things, learning the mandolin, starting a podcast.
Yeah. Don't start a podcast. There are enough of those.
True.
Volunteer for something at your local food shelter or a food bank or a soup kitchen, your local animal shelter. PAWS is literally always taking people. Mm-hmm. Or your local old folks facility. Those old people need somebody. Go play checkers with them. Go play checkers with them.
Yeah. Let's see. Speak more positively. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. Just like don't be shitty.
And all of these things, I think we made a point of like, here's why changing this will make your life less shitty or make the environment less shitty or mm-hmm. your body less shitty or how you feel about yourself less shitty. So like, just don't be shitty is a really good umbrella resolution.
Yeah.
All in all, it's a hard time of year. Hopefully this helped. Hopefully it wasn't too rambly because it was definitely rambly at the beginning. I'm getting back into it, guys. It's fine. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, all in all, people should just resolve to suck less.
Yeah.
Treat yourself better. Treat people better. If we all resolved to be kinder to one another and to the earth, the world would be an infinitely better place. And mm-hmm. 45 would not be in office right now.
For sure.
So on that note. Stop
saying his name. On that note, let's talk
about what's going on.
I resolved to stop saying his name.
Yeah, I just call him 45. So on that note, let's wrap this baby up with some good old Lister mail.
Yes. So this is the best and worst date I've ever been on. 5 years ago, I went on a first date. We were on a bicycle ride through the Oakland Hills, and on a descent, I crashed and lost my front teeth and a lot of skin. I looked like I had no teeth. That's because you lost your teeth, ma'am. I had him immediately take me to the dentist to get my teeth fixed. One of my teeth was actually found in my hair later, which I can only imagine him like going like, hey, baby. And you're like, don't touch me. And he's like,
your molar. It's your front tooth.
Sorry. I found your canine. I don't know what your front teeth are called. Sciencey.
You're just your front teeth, man.
Sure. But he came over every day after that to change my bandages and bring me food. And we've been together ever since.
That's cute.
That's really cute. I hope he brought you smoothies that you sucked through a front tooth whole straw. That's a disgusting image. So I'm glad you're in love.
That's fucking rough. My brother cracked Kristen's tooth once. That was
rough. Ew. With his face?
No, they were playing laser tag.
That's some real love.
Yeah, so, but anyway, if you'd like to submit your own worst date, horror story, sex mishap, or boner blunder, feel free to submit named or anonymous stories to 50worstdatespodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs at 50worstdatespod on Instagram.
My Instagram is katiecoyle27.
Mine is Pikachu 1-8.
If you think we're valid sources for advice and would want to ask us questions, we'll take those emails and DMs too. We do get those. They're very fun. We respond in like good time to see IRL info. Our goal is to base future episodes after stories that are not our own because we haven't been on that many bad dates and we conceivably won't be going on any in the near future.
Yeah.
If you love our music, it's from bensound.com. And if you love our cover art, it's by Tori Scranton. You can find her at tscrantonart on Instagram and Etsy. All right, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Welcome back from us to you.
Yes, from you to us and from us to you.
Welcome to 2020. It's going to be a great year, I hope, even maybe. Though half the world just seems to be burning up. It's fine.
And with that, I bid you all farewell.
Yeah, talk to you next week.
Bye.